Hey y'all, it's Nikki. We just wanted to remind you that this is a show not rated E for everyone, but E for explicit, which means we swear a whole bunch. Also, fair warning, as this is a books and video games pod, that we do have a ton of spoilers of whatever we read and play, respectively. If you're cool with that, enjoy the show.
Hey guys.
Hello.
It's Nikki.
And Tyler.
And this is Page Turners.
And Button Mashers.
Oh my god, we're back. Did you just gasp at me?
Ooh. Oh.
Stop.
No, I refuse, actually.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
It's another episode. Oh my god. Almost did it again.
Yeah, we almost redid our intro.
That was my bad.
Before we start, it's about to start raining outside. A very bad storm, so you might get some atmospheric thunder.
Thunderstorm watch. So yeah, it's about to rain like cats and dogs outside.
Even though we Heavens have to Betsy, it's going to rain hard.
What?
I don't know. We're in a severe thunderstorm watch, though. So yeah. That's fun.
Add to that, it's episode 6.
Of our return?
Of our return. And it's kind of strange that we're at this point. It's kind of nice that I've kind of shortened everything, so it's easier to make episodes, but it's like, it's still kind of weird.
It is, I agree.
Yeah. Well, I guess you'll probably see a Spotify change, or, if you're listening on Spotify, you'll see a Spotify question asking if you like our, you know, slightly shorter episodes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Poll time.
Insert poll now. that's not how that works, it just shows up.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have any news for us?
Not yet.
Okay, cool. Cool. I'm stumbling here. I just had a kids' party today, and it was a lot of fun. It's just one of those, my brain's overwhelmed, and I feel like it's all, like, static.
That's fair. Our dog decided to be a little shit, and he was rolling around outside getting tangled in the leash.
Yep.
So I unclipped it, and then he was still rolling around, and then he stopped, looked at me, went, and then took off.
Oh, gosh.
And I had to chase him, like, 4 houses away. Hades. Behind our house. So
Hades being Hades.
Yeah.
Don't live up to your name, bud.
Yeah. I had to carry him like a baby, like, upside down, home.
Oh, God. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Not,
it said nobody ever. Yeah, I guess on actual, like, podcasty news, I have read a lot of books, and I have started and stopped a lot of books, so there's a high possibility that if there's something that you may have recommended me, or you intend to recommend me, and I'm like, yeah, I already started to read that one, and I couldn't finish it, just know that it's, like, no harm. Like, it's just no harm,
it's
no
not
foul.
Personal.
It's not personal.
Yeah.
I've gone from, like, I've read the worst. I have literally read the worst. But it was so comical that it made up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have gotten into the point where it's like, if it's too, if I have to push myself to read it, I'm not gonna fucking finish it. Mm-hmm. And I also don't feel like you guys deserve to hear partial
reviews.
That's yes.
Fair.
Which kind of sucks.
Yeah. You know? For sure.
Yeah. So, that all being said, I might make a list of books that I started and stopped and just couldn't continue on with, and I'll, tell you guys later why I did those ones.
That's fair.
Maybe as an interim one if I'm not out of books to report on, but, like, just...
If you're not feeling it.
If I'm not feeling it, yeah.
Not feeling the oomph.
Yeah, but... Or I'm having a hard time deciding on which one to read next, but I could also have as a mini update kind of thing.
That's fair.
With that, you have a word for me.
I do. It's it's a weird one.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't know if I'll be able to pronounce it correctly, but...
Okay.
Borborygmus.
Borborygmus.
That was an example of it.
The sound your stomach makes?
When you're hungry.
And your tummy goes...
Brr. It's like the... Brr. Yeah.
Oh. That's... So when I tell my stomach to shut up...
Yeah, you're telling the Borborgamus to shut up.
Shut up, Borborgamus.
I kind of love that. Borborigmus. Borigmus.
Borigmus?
Borborigmus. Huh. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So there's there's the word for you.
I'm not going to remember that. I was going to remember the last word and actually use it in a sentence, and I couldn't.
That's fair.
It sucks. My memory sucks. Anyway, are you ready to listen to this book?
I suppose I am.
So, don't get so excited about it. So this book was a, how do I say it? It was a treat. I remembered loving it. And it's got three books to it, but they're all pretty much standalone outside of this first one introduces you to the next one. So you're going to get two different books within a few episodes.
Ooh.
So we start with the introduction of the name. It's A Witch's Guide to Fake Dating a Demon by Sarah Holly. I forgot to introduce the goddamn book.
So it starts with the name. That was awesome. Oh, Jesus.
Excuse me.
We are off to a wonderful, wonderful start here.
I'm still dying. Yay, post-sickness coughs. All right. So, now we start. Now that you know what the book title is. We join our trio, Mariel, Caladia, and Themi. Two witches and a pixie, respectively.
Mm.
Mariel just had accidentally summoned a chicken instead of an air sprite. She explains to us that even though she was prophesied to be the most powerful witch in her family, she fucking sucked at it.
Oh.
Case in point, with the help of her friends, she tried to send the chicken back, only to make it explode.
Oh.
Whoops. Yep, chicken chunks everywhere. If only her mother hadn't proposed that in order to pay for grad school, Mariel would have to prove her abilities in non-plant magic. This wouldn't be an issue right now.
Okay.
Mariel's friends left, and she cleaned up the chicken parts, took a shower, a long shower, took care of her garden, explained to us that she lives in Glimmer Falls, where it was normal for all sorts of species and witches and warlocks to be in. Then got a call from her overbearing mother, asking her how casting was going.
Mm.
And telling her that she ran into Caladia's mother, who was like her frenemy.
Mm.
It seems that Diantha, Mariel's mother, has this long-standing hatred of their family. And was pushing this rivalry that very much did not exist in Mariel.
Mm.
All because of a prophecy and the family she was born into.
Good.
She even, at once, suggested that taking Ritalin to help her focus illegally.
Mm.
Then went on a tangent about taking coke in college that improved her focus tremendously.
Oh, all right.
She's a character. Yeah. That's for sure. When she hung up, she felt exhausted. It was only 10 a.m. and she had muffins to bake for a friend. Unfortunately, Mariel also promised her mother that the ingredients had been imported. So she made another attempt at summoning flour.
Mm.
Instead, she summoned a man.
He was... Eek! A man.
It's one of those... That's not right.
How unlucky could you get? A man in this economy?
It was just... It's like, I was trying to summon flour. Not a whole ass person.
No, not a man.
Anyway, so he was tall, handsome, golden skin with black hair and horns coming out of his head. She then realized just how bad she fucked up.
Okay. Oh, it's a demon.
Oh, yeah. This was Azeroth the Ruthless. A demon who had just gained a soul instead of reaping them like he had previously. Now he was here, standing in the middle of some witch's kitchen, wondering why he was summoned. He asked what she would trade her soul to bargain for, and her response was, "Nope, no bargaining here. It was a mistake. Go away."
Solid response, honestly.
He told her she couldn't just tell him to go away. She summoned him by name.
Oh.
She was like, "No, I summoned Flower by name, and you showed up."
Don't talk shit to the demon that you summoned. You summoned him. I think he would know.
Can you see why I liked this book so much?
Yes.
Anyway, Mariel then started to create another summoning circle to send Azeroth back. However, he did sense the sheer amount of power coming from her, and knowing that he had been a massive disappointment to his mentor, he would totally benefit from taking her soul.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, with her poor skills, she instead made her favorite teapot explode. Oh. Whoops again.
Nice.
Good. Azeroth was amused by just watching her frantically try to undo what she had just done.
Mm-hmm.
Again, offering anything her heart desired.
Mm-hmm.
She responded that he was such a cliche. Then showed him a photo of what they had as a photo of a demon. It was all wrong.
Okay.
And even said that they eat the souls they collect, which is entirely incorrect.
Oh.
It fuels their plane with magic and gives it light.
Hmm.
Well, either way, Mariel wasn't about to give her soul to him, and he can't leave the plane until he gets it, so here they are. Oh, and Mariel's mother decided to randomly drop by.
Of course.
Convenient.
Yeah.
She barged in and just started on this rambling about wanting to see her summoning. When she got to Azeroth, Mariel panicked and called him her boyfriend.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that goes well.
He's like, yep, that's my boyfriend. That's like, fuck.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
Diantha was excited because she had all but given up on the prospect of grandbabies. Lovely.
Love that for her.
Azeroth ended up playing along, entertaining Mariel's mother for over an hour.
Ooh.
Just pretending to be interesting and even throwing a lie about being a warlock whose magic is sensing power. Smooth.
Nice.
Once Mariel got her mother to go, he actually did offer his services to help her gain control of the power she had. Only until she figured out what actual deal she wanted. No soul trading until then. She refused him for the soul thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Then she ignored him and went on a cleaning spree, where he realized just how messy she was.
Mm.
Which was probably why she was so bad at casting spells.
I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, it's a lot of precise magic, apparently.
Yeah, checks out.
Yep. Azeroth told her as much as well.
Thanks, you dick.
Yeah. Especially as he started to work on folding her laundry, forcing her to cast a spell to shut the drawer.
Mm.
She was surprised she did it without making it explode.
That's just her thing, is making things explode.
She killed a chicken and her favorite teapot in one sitting. I'm not... It's one of those, checks out at this point.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
You didn't kill it? Amazing. For anybody who understands that this is a podcast, Tyler made a face.
Oh, yeah.
So he asked her how she did it, and she answered that she didn't think about it for once. But then the day continued on. Her cleaning and doing chores, him suggesting ways to take her soul, and her shutting him down. He even bluntly asked if she wanted to be fucked.
Oh.
Causing her to accidentally summon a giant purple dildo.
Ah.
She got frustrated and managed to send it back without exploding this time.
That's good. You don't want those exploding.
Too much mess.
Oh.
Okay. But all she really wanted was to practice her magic and nothing from him.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid human soul in his chest made him feel pain for that, causing him to recount how he was tricked by a warlock to gain a soul in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But now here he is, trying his best to figure out how to unlock the deepest desires of Mariel, while also simultaneously having to deal with the feelings that the human soul keeps providing him despite not wanting any of it.
Mm-hmm.
This including the feeling of hunger and the need for nightly sleep. Speaking of which, Mariel asked if he had another place to stay that night, which Osroth replied, nope. So, she hosted him. As annoying as he was, she fed him and put him up for the night. He figured for later he would have to find her deepest desires. For now, spaghetti.
Whose isn't spaghetti? Like, let me tell you.
It's like, hell yeah, that smells... I remember this part of the book. He's like, what are you doing? That smells amazing. I'm very hungry right now.
She's like, no touchy.
It's not even that. It's like, yeah, here's just some spaghetti.
Some spaghetti.
It's not that bad. Anyways, Mariel found him weird and annoying. Constantly in her way at work, even.
Oh.
Yeah, everything else was going fine when Caladia spotted him while talking to Mariel at her job at the greenhouse.
Mm.
She was about to attack the dude when Mariel pulled her to Caladia's truck to explain.
Mm-hmm.
When she was done, she pondered the thought that he doesn't look like what they would have imagined a demon to. He's more of a snack of a cowboy at that moment.
Snack of a cowboy.
He was wearing a cowboy hat because he needed to cover his horns somehow, and he was tall and hot. Just not much to it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell, like, just hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Caladia asked if he was nice, and Mariel can only say he's weird. Not much more to it.
Yeah, he's also... Is he nice? He's weird.
He's weird. It's like...
But, yeah, but is he kind? He's odd.
He's weird.
He's odd.
He's also staying there until he can make a deal with her. So now she has an unwanted roommate for the foreseeable future.
Hooray!
Yay! Azeroth was also forced to help the three friends chant and march at a protest against building some spa.
Oh.
In a really magical place with rare creatures. It was kind of funny how they forced him to hold a hot pink sign and then took a selfie about it.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Afterwards, he was dragged to a dive bar, where Themi, Caladia, and Mariel got plastered on happy hour drinks.
Good.
Side note, Themi is an influencer pixie, and she definitely made alive while drunk as fuck.
Hell yeah.
So, I love you, Themi.
Yeah. It's like, uh-oh, here she goes again.
Yep. They really did get absolutely plastered, to the point where Mariel made absolutely zero sense, and Oz, his new nickname, had to try and convince her to go home, which sparked a fight between him and Caladia.
Mm.
Lucky, or unlucky, I suppose, for Oz, his master called him.
Ooh.
He excused himself to answer, and Astaroth legit laid into him, asking if he was even worthy of attempting to make this sort of deal.
Rude.
I know, right? Astaroth demanded her weaknesses, and when Oz explained it was her family, he demanded he make her hurt so bad that she wants to make a deal.
Mm.
Afterward, she wouldn't care if it works anyways. Apparently, Astaroth also made a bet inside of a demon leadership about him being able to be a proper demon again. He bet for the affirmative, so he better not fail him.
Mm-hmm.
The or else was silent.
Ah.
Great. Another side note that I didn't write down. When the soul gets removed, you basically turn into a husk.
Mm.
Like an emotionless, like you go into full NPC mode with no emotions.
Hell yeah.
Like it's bad. Like even food doesn't excite you anymore.
Aww.
I know, it's really sad. But, like, you get your wish, but you can't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But people don't see that. Anyway. It seemed, while he was gone, the girls gave Mariel another margarita.
Nice.
He tried to bring her home, but they ganged up against him and took Mariel to Caladia's house while he slept outside on the lawn.
Oh.
He couldn't stay far from her.
Mm-hmm.
Caladia had warded the shit out of her house, and Oz pondered the fact that he hated the words slung at him. Mm. Yeah, she literally just yelled at him. It seems he wasn't even sure how he was made to be a monster. He was just part of the ecosystem. He didn't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, Mariel woke up, no major hangover, and was fed bacon and eggs by Caladia.
Mm.
They decided they needed to figure out the next best steps to get out of her soul, get out with her soul, and magic intact.
Mm-hmm.
The Google searches proved fruitless, excluding a shocking amount of demon requests and porn.
Ooh.
Yeah. But that's the internet for you.
Sure.
Sure. Caladia let Mariel know that she had no choice but to go to the library instead, braving the possibility of her mother finding out about whatever book she decided to check out. Unfortunately for Mariel, her mother was someone she was unable to avoid, since she decided to throw a congrats on your relationship party on her front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking lovely. Both of them wanted the ground to open up and swallow them whole at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
This whole situation was clearly revolving around the bragging that Diantha could muster, especially against her frenemy, Cynthia Cunnington, Caladia's mother.
Oh.
There were so many pieces of TMI and venomous comments. It was honestly reminding me of something oddly familiar.
That's fair.
Anyways, as most families do, Oz got the third degree. They asked all the questions, and he answered with perfect lies. Diantha also continued the TMI. I genuinely cannot with this woman. It's way too familiar. I would also tell you some of the details, but I, too, was attempting to dissociate from the knowledge it provided to me. Bless Oz, ha, for giving Mariel an out, though. Bless a demon. He reminded her that she was going to show him her garden. Diantha took the excuse and told them not to use protection as they walked away.
Oh.
Yep. It was when the door shut behind them that Oz was like, fucking hell, hot again. Of course, Mariel had tried to tell her to stop, but she still felt indebted to her and didn't feel like she could fully ignore her own mother.
Mm-hmm.
Oz then explained to her how demon families work, specifically how his mother had handed him over to Astaroth at age 6, and he'd never see her or his father again. Mariel found it sad, and he held his hand, asking if he wanted to take a walk in the forest to get away from the crowd, and he fucking agreed.
Mm.
And that's where I'm going to pause for part one.
Ooh.
Lots of growth and little random flirty things happening in this part, but I can't tell you more. Can't wait to tell you more in part two.
Hell yeah.
I know. Thoughts so far on part one?
It seems fun.
It's a fun book.
Yeah.
I said, we always discuss that it's like, okay, we've decided on our book and our stuff, and how are we feeling going into this, but we never even tell each other what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say that both of us were really excited about what we were coming into today.
Yeah.
And I think you can see why I love this book so much.
For sure.
I had a lot of fun reading it. Anyway, any thoughts on the family dynamic? Mm-mm. Or anything else?
No.
Okay. They're very straightforward.
Yeah. Seems fun. That's all I've really got.
Okay. Well, I guess we can take a break then.
Cool. Hi.
What? That took so long for you to say something.
Yeah, I was expecting you to start it, so that was my apologies.
Give me the thumbs up and you were looking at me.
Yeah, I was pretending to scream into the void.
Alright, well, what have you got for us today?
Well, news. I posted a TikTok of blind ranking the Call of Duty games. So, yeah. Like, you know, posting them on the side and whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of people, three people did not like my choices.
What?
One person said Black Ops 3 at number 8 is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I didn't enjoy it.
That's fair.
But I would love to hear, you know, but major respect to those who did.
Yeah.
That guy immediately was like, I like that comment. one person went, this is bad. And I went, oh no, a person with a different opinion. How dare? And they went, I just gave you my opinion. You got offended. And I went, who the fuck's offended?
It's like, oh no, a person with a different opinion. How dare? Like, it's fine.
And another person went, zero Call of Duty knowledge. And I just went, I based these on how much fun I had with them. Because, you know, they're a video game.
Yeah. Also, it's not... I hate how serious people take things sometimes. Oh, yeah. And it's just like, hey, so fun fact. I can have a different opinion than you. Especially on things that are, like, subjective like this. Yeah. So...
A lot of people will hate me for what I chose, but I chose Call of Duty Ghosts at number 4.
Oh, okay.
Which a lot of people are like, what? Because...
They think it's, like, number 1?
No, they think it's, like, number 10.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But,
Well, if you had fun with it, like, ugh.
I liked it, but a lot of... There was a lot of issues, and I can understand them. I just enjoyed them.
I think that there's a lot of sweaty people out there.
Yeah.
For those people who don't know what sweaty means, it's, like...
Tryhards.
Yeah.
Trying way too hard at a... Taking a game so seriously that anytime you're playing it, you're sweating.
Yeah.
That's what...
I keep thinking of, like, sweaty palms and against a controller, and it makes me feel icky.
Yeah.
I immediately want to take a shower after thinking
about it. Have you ever seen, like, pro gaming tournaments?
Yeah.
Those guys are actually, like, legit sweating from the forehead how serious they're taking.
Yeah, they're, like...
They do get paid for it, though, so it's understandable.
Sweat from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And you hope they shower.
Yeah. Axe body spray, portable shower in a can.
Sorry.
Middle school.
Oh, God. And high school. The entire...
That's true.
Entire first hallway where my locker was.
I knew somebody that, like, liked the smell of Axe, and I went, I don't trust you.
So, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
There's definitely one out there that I did not hate as much as the other ones.
It was probably the blue one.
Yes, yep. The blue one.
Yeah, that one smelled the best.
The red and, like...
There was yellow.
Yellow one?
Yeah.
It just smells like spicy sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why does it make you smell spicy? On top of, like, onions or wet dog or, like, whatever people smell like individually. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. da-na-na-na. He's disappointed because this happened last time. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
I mean, the best part is that was a gaming noise.
Yeah, true.
It was a Zelda noise.
If only I was actually reporting on a Zelda game, that would have been perfect.
I know, that would have been really nice. What was I saying? Sweaty boys?
Yeah. Should we move on to gaming?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, let's move on to gaming.
Great segue, phone. Good job.
So, this time around, I played Viva Piñata Trouble in Paradise.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I loved Viva Piñata, the show.
Yep.
It was so ridiculous, but so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking horse was...
Horstachio.
He was a goddamn flimflammer.
I forget his name, but he was a horstachio.
Yes.
Yep.
But he was a goddamn flimflammer.
Oh yeah, 100%.
He's like, I can do this for you. It's like, bitch, you can't even tie your own shoes. Like,
yes.
I'm sorry, I loved him so much.
Yeah, no, that is... Totally fair. I remember that I played the game, and then I found out that there was a show later on.
And you did I woke it backwards?
Up, yeah, and then I went, oh my god, I need to, what's it called, check out this show. So I woke up extra early on a Sunday morning just to watch it.
Oh god. So the one with the little... The hedgehog?
Yeah.
Piñata? His name is Ferdy Fudgehog.
Yep. He's a fudgehog.
Hudson Horstachio.
Yep.
That's his name.
All right. So, fun fact, the first Viva Piñata mm-hmm. was my first Xbox 360 game.
Really?
This is the sequel to it. It's pretty much the same game. They just added a few things, so that's why I went with this one instead of Viva Piñata.
Totally fair.
Yeah. So... It's kind of just branching off of my very first, not my first ever game, my first Xbox 360 game.
That's fair.
Because we had a card
we had the Xbox 360 Arcade Edition, which didn't come with a hard drive, came with a memory card.
Huh.
And it had demos on it, which had, like, Feeding Frenzy and Viva Pinata. And I was loving the demo of Viva Pinata. I finally got it, and I was like, yes! So, yeah. It's, and finding out about the show made it all the better. Because the show is nothing like the game.
No, not at all.
So, the release date for this game, for Trouble in Paradise, was September 2nd, 2008.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Oh my god. We were 13.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. This was so long ago.
Yeah.
But also, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
4kids.tv was like dead, like, 3 years later.
Yep. So, the developer is Rare, which they're known for Donkey Kong Country.
Good one.
Battletoads.
Also good one.
And Banjo-Kazooie.
Still a good one.
Among many, many more. But that's, like, their main franchises that they've had.
I mean, when you've got something that good, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. They don't do much anymore, to what I'm aware of. Sea of Thieves was their last major one.
I mean, Sea of Thieves turned out pretty okay.
Pretty good game, yeah.
My downside with that one, total side note, it makes me so seasick.
That's fair.
And I'm like, something that is this stationary, not like a headset, should not make me feel this nauseous.
You're not the only person. It also made my brother motion sick.
It's the, I can't play this. I feel like I'm going to vomit.
Yeah. yeah, for that one, I found out a best way to do that is if I am playing the game and I'm not paying attention to the boat, if I look up and pay attention to the wind, and I'm not focusing on the boat rocking, that's what helps me.
I feel like that happens with any boat game. Anyway.
That's fair.
Viva Pinata.
The publisher of this game was Microsoft Studios.
Of course.
So, it just makes sense that this was only released on the Xbox 360.
Yes, yes it does.
You can get it as backwards compatible, which is how I played it. You can even play it on the Series XS, so whichever one of those you have. So, yeah, any of the newest consoles or even last-gen console, you can play it as long as it's an Xbox.
Ready and raring to go. Got it.
Yep.
The long as you're an Xbox.
Exactly. The genre is a simulation game.
Yeah.
Because it's a, that's what you're doing.
You're playing a TV show. I can't imagine why it wouldn't be.
Not really. You're playing, it's a gardening one. Aww. You have a garden.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, is it like what is it called? Harvest Moon?
Harvest Moon?
Is that one?
I mean, that is a simulation game. It's a life simulation game, though.
I couldn't remember the actual name, so I was hoping Harvest Moon was correct. Or like Animal Crossing. As far as simulation goes.
Kind of.
Okay.
It's its own kind of simulation game.
Okey-doke.
Simulation goes anywhere from, like, train simulator to technically Two-Point Hospital is a simulation game.
That's fair.
So, this is a Viva Pinata simulation game.
That makes me very happy.
So, would you like to know the synopsis?
I sure would.
There is a story to this game.
Oh my god.
Professor Pester has managed to break into Pinata Central.
Oh no.
He attempts to hack the terminal containing information about Pinata to steal data about the location and weaknesses of every Pinata in the world. So he can capture every Pinata and become the Pinata King.
Not the Pinatas.
However, his ruffian minions accidentally destroy the data records. He then devises a plan to stop the player from obtaining certain species by having roadblocks which block some pinatas from entering your garden.
That's actually pretty thought out.
Yeah.
That's really well thought out.
So, the objective. While the objective is technically save the pinatas from Professor Pester, which, what a name.
Yeah,
can we
I love
appreciate that.
That
name for a second?
I mean, think of the other names that were there.
Yeah.
Like, Fudgy Washington. Hudson Horstachio, Franklin Fizzy Bear. Like,
yep.
Come on, that's cute.
So Professor Pester, he's like just this giant, he's like a dude, but then he's got a red tiki mask on, or head. There's these weird humans in these games that I don't even talk about, but they're like weird human creatures that help you. I think one of them's named Leafos or something like that. They're Cetos. I know that.
Okay.
But she's the leaf, the one with the leaf out of her head. She's like, hello. But Professor Pester, he's like, I'm a guy, and then Tiki Head. Like, but he sits there and he talks like this.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm not going to get into that. I keep thinking about, what the fuck was that show about?
I don't know.
It feels like another Fever Dream show.
We should try and find it.
I'm probably going to look into it. I already found out that Yugi was the voice of Horstachio. So, again, reference for people who don't know, Yu-Gi-Oh, the show that we grew up with that had that trading card game, that's freaking popular.
Yeah, the original
show.
The voice
of Yugi.
The American voice.
Yeah, the American voice of Yugi. Is also the fucking horse flim flamer in Viva Pinata.
Yes.
He's also apparently the voice of Mewtwo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know. This man is in our childhood.
Yes.
And I don't like it.
So, going back to the objective.
Yeah.
It's really what you're supposed to do is build a garden to attract wild pinatas and give them homes. You do this by building certain parts of the garden to the specifications.
Specificity?
Specifications, there we go. To each of the pinatas type. For example, for the worms.
Worms?
You gotta have like a square foot of grass in the garden.
Okay.
And then like, you make a pond, you get water types.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get night and you put down a torch, you get another type. It's stuff like that. You're doing things to try and attract a certain type of pinata to your garden and make them become a resident.
That sounds really fucking cute.
It, oh my god, it is.
I mean, I also just figured out what the show is about.
What's the show about?
This is the synopsis just if you...
Actually, let's talk about that later.
Okay.
Just so we don't get off track.
Yeah, we'll get off track later.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Yes. So, there are two main modes that you can play in this. The more story-based mode, which is where the objective that I previously talked about comes into play. And where,
you gotta get the pinata home.
Yeah. Professor Pester becomes a thing. Like, he starts sending shit at you, and it's just like, ooh, there's an evil pinata here.
Plants versus zombies?
No.
Okay,
he different. Just sends, like, a red version of a wild pinata to fuck up your thing, and you have to be like, here's a shovel. Whack. You can whack things with shovels.
I kind of love that.
Yeah.
Ka-ting.
So, let's see. Besides the story mode, there's a sandbox mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's a just-for-fun mode where it lets you really do what you want. Everything is unlocked. Pinatas are easier to attract.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is free, essentially. You just have unlimited money.
Okay.
And by easier to attract, it's literally like instead of... So there's... attract them to appear and then visit and then become a resident.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things will be like, oh, for this pinata, have like a plant to make them visit, have three plants to make them become a resident, eat the plant. But in sandbox mode, it's have the plant, maybe have another of that plant, and now they're a resident. Like that's as long
easier.
As they visit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, be warned, though, you cannot get achievements in the sandbox mode.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's literally just for fun.
Yeah.
So.
I love a good sandbox mode.
Yeah, it's... I was playing that this morning. I was almost late to picking you up because I was having so much fun. I attracted so many pinatas that I have never seen before. I was like, what?
I've never seen you.
I was like, what are you?
I must acquire you.
And I did.
And I did.
So, in order to build your garden, you need tools and packets.
Mm-hmm.
You need a shovel to break stones, dig holes, and, you know, make ponds and bop pinatas.
Yeah.
You can whack them with it.
Bopping pinatas.
Yeah, you literally just... So, You are a floating cursor. I should probably say that. Like, you're just a circle on the ground moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And when you select, like, whatever you're using, like a shovel, it's just floating there. So all of a sudden there's a floating shovel.
I'm imagining this like a Wreck-It Ralph situation. It's like, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming.
Yeah, just... Exactly. Let's see. So the purose of bopping pinatas, when they're evil ones, they will try and eat your other pinatas, and you'll just get the fuck out of here. You can break them. And then also there's certain pinatas that are wild that in order to become a resident, they have to eat a pinata. And if you don't want that one to be a resident, you go, hey, get the fuck out of here. And you hit them.
I love it.
So there's also a water bucket to water your plants.
Naturally. You have to water your plants.
Exactly. Then there's also packets. So there's packets of grass, long grass, sand, and snow. And you just pop it on the ground, and now you got some stuff there.
Love it. I'm just loving this. This is cute.
It's so cute. It's like the predecessor to Slime Rancher.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love Slime Rancher.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
It's, oh god. I would argue this game is a little cuter.
Oh.
Yeah. So, seeds. There are seeds. In order to attract some piñatas, you need certain plants, like carrots or poppies or literally any plant. It will probably attract a piñata.
Love that.
Yeah, so carrots for the rabbit ones. There's rabbits.
Of course.
Yeah. And then, of course, what would a simulation be without shops?
True.
You've got the general goods store to buy, like, garden decorations, seeds, all that good new tool upgrades if you're doing the story mode. And you can also have a builder, which is to build homes for the little piñatas.
Oh.
You get to build them homes that they stay in.
I love this.
So, there are some unique features to this game. This first one, not sure how unique this is to simulation games, but in comparison to the first Viva Pinata, this is a great addition, of course, that being co-op.
I love a good co-op, too.
Yeah, you get to co-op with the garden.
Yay.
And you can hop into a friend's garden through couch co-op. And build it how you and your gaming buddy want. You used to be able to do it via Xbox Live or LAN connection, which...
For the youngins, that's when you had a cable that could connect to another friend's Xbox.
It was just an Ethernet cable. You just connect the Ethernet ports.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's how you did...
For the babies, that's when before Wi-Fi connections were a thing.
Yeah, and even when Wi-Fi connections were a thing, that's how you did a lot of stuff.
Oh no, are we old enough to start saying things like that?
Yes, we are.
Almost 30.
So, I'm not sure if the servers are still up for that game. Mm-hmm. I didn't check, but couch co-op is definitely still a thing.
Good.
Yeah, and you can float around as two different cursors, or just be one.
Move as one.
Yeah, so one person has a shovel, the other one has, like, a packet. And you can combine, and then, like, on the left and right, you've got a shovel and a packet.
Like, shake, 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 smack, smack, smack.
Exactly. So another unique feature is there's a guy walking around named CDOS.
Mm-hmm.
He's a major dork and super adorable. And if you talk to him once per in-game day, he gives you a random seed. He goes, hey, check this out. And just throws it on the ground. There you go. However, a little unique thing that you can do is whack him with your shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Just whoosh, and he will drop another seed.
Oh.
However.
Let's just startle him by beating the shit out of him and get you another seed.
I wouldn't do this personally because I feel like a dick every time. And also he runs away to his home for a little bit.
Oh.
He runs. Yeah, so he... No!
He's just a baby.
He just likes seeds, that's it.
He doesn't hurt you, he's just a baby.
But if he's at home, he can't give you tips about how to garden with the seeds. Like, he will give you advice about gardening in the game. So he's kind of...
Be nice to CDOS.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Another unique feature is, of course, the attracting of the piñatas. And you need to attract them. There's so many ways. Having grass, sand, water, etc. Having a certain plant or even another type of piñata. These are like some of the few ways. Sometimes you need statues.
Oh.
There's so many ways to attract piñatas to your garden.
Yeah.
That's the unique aspect to it.
Oh.
Because instead of just being like, you need to build its home, you can't build its home until it's a resident in your garden.
That feels like a little bit more of a simulation one, the Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Yep.
Where it's like, you can't even think about placing their home. Their home does not exist until mm-hmm. they exist.
Exactly.
I do appreciate that, though, because it helps with space.
Yep.
And reality.
I will say I was going to make I was doing the sandbox mode, and I got a flying one. I'll tell you about it maybe later. I don't know if I mention it, but it was a bird.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to put their house next to the other flying ones. I put it over there, you know, good to go.
Yeah.
And then I look and I'm like, that's not the other bird's house. That's the frog's house. Why is it a windmill? Like, what the fuck is going on?
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, but that was my own mistake because I didn't even have the other bird yet. I was just like, the flying ones are going here. And then I was like, that's a frog.
The miraculous flying frog.
Yeah.
They only fly if you throw them hard enough.
Yeah, that you're not wrong.
I wouldn't do it. My heart would hurt with the cute little piñatas.
Yeah. So, another unique thing is what happens when a piñata breaks? Because they're piñatas. They got to break, right? It's very simple. They just reform as a wild piñata outside of your garden and return to the wild.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's no death in this game, which makes it very appropriate for gamers of all ages. Although it's still sad to see the piñata break and then be shifted and rebuilt outside. It's like, no.
It's the, oh no.
Yeah.
I did that.
Or another piñata did that.
No. Oh.
Which, that's why I don't like playing the story mode, because the other piñatas eat each other and I'm like, no.
Why is there cannibalism?
It's because it's, like, a different kind of piñata.
I know.
Yeah, like the birds eat the worms, you know?
No, you're right, you're right. So it's more like a normal circle of life thing, Lion King. But...
Shout out.
It's still like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't want you to die.
Exactly. So, one final mechanic that I would personally call unique, and it's series specific for this, is the mating mini games.
What?
Which sounds weird, but hear me out. So you need more of the same piñata, of course, right? Uh-huh. Like more of the same type of piñata.
Uh-huh.
So whether that's for a challenge or attracting other piñatas, whatever. So some of them have to mate. They have to make babies.
Oh.
So once you reach a certain like criteria for each type of piñata, they can mate, and it's the cutest fucking thing. They get little hearts over their heads, and you select one, you select the other, it like goes up to it, and then it boogies, does a little boogie, and then they go back to their house, and there's a mating dance.
What?
And the worms, they do like a disco one. It's really fucking cute. They're just dancing near each other too. After the little boogie, you do a mating mini game, which is a maze where you control one of them and you have to collect hearts as you're getting to the other one.
Oh.
And that's the mating mini game.
It's one of those, we're teaching children how to mate. And you're from that too. Well, it is kind of boogie.
A lot of animals do mating dances.
Yes, they do.
Now, these ones are very over-the-top goofy.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah. So, I gotta show you the worms, because it's cute.
Just like,
one, it, like, spins in a circle, it looks up, and then it nods its head to each side.
Oh, God.
And then it rolls and starts
doing the worm.
Kind of. It's weird.
Well, it's a pinata. It's not very flexible.
They are flexible. It moves like a worm. I'm just... So...
Oh, no.
Usually, when I'm doing these reviews, I do fun moments. I changed that to cute moments.
Oh, God.
So, first of all is the names of the pinatas. All of the pinatas are named with a food pun of some kind. And I would like to share with you some of my favorites.
Oh my gosh.
We've got the bunny comb.
Oh.
It's a bunny. Yeah. It's a honeycomb, yeah. Then we've got a buzzle gum.
A buzzle gum.
It's a bumblebee.
Oh.
You're going to really like this one. Mouse mellow.
It's a little marshmallow mouse.
It's a little mouse with big old ears. And their house is a clock.
Tick-tock.
Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock.
I'm getting really cuted out here, man.
Flutterscotch.
Is it a butterfly?
It's a butterfly. A vulturo.
Vulturo.
A vulture.
Oh.
And finally, a juicy goose.
Juicy goose.
It's a goose. But it's called a juicy goose.
That goose is real juicy, man.
Honestly, I love all of the names. They are so cute and ridiculous.
I love it.
I thought I talked about the one. I can't remember its name, but it is a crow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. You will love it. I will show you afterwards.
I do love crows.
I'm going to show you pictures of all of them after this.
That sounds great.
So another cute moment is the bunny combs bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
Just randomly, they'll get up on their haunches and just start bouncing in a circle.
Oh.
Ears back and everything, and their feet are up.
That sounds so cute.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it besides that.
My heart feels like it's going to explode.
And then also the sparrow mints,
mm-hmm.
which is a sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little chunky bird. And it'll bounce near a worm. Like, this moment that I saw is there was a worm. Like, so there was a sparrow mint standing in front of a worm.
Yeah.
And the worm is the worm. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's... food counterpart is, but the sparrow mint was just looking at the worm, mm-hmm. just like what, and the worm was looking back up at it, and all of a sudden it went and then spun in a circle, like bounced on each foot, just doot, 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 doot.
Oh.
No reason, it just did it. I was like, that's a happy bird, look at him go.
I found my food today.
He just starts dancing.
My food today.
Yeah. Usually how you get a sparrow mint in to become a resident in your garden is it has to eat a worm.
Fair enough.
So, which is unfortunate.
It's a circle of life.
So.
Elton John.
Yes. Some of my likes for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Cute, vibrant colors.
Yeah.
The game world just matches the entire vibes of pinatas in general. You know the colors of pinatas.
Yeah, they're bright and colorful.
Yeah, you got the big, like, flashy greens, yellows, reds, blues, all that.
Yeah.
The game world matches that.
Yes, it does.
Except if they are a wild pinata,
mm-hmm.
they are just, like, white and gray. But then when they become a resident, their colors arrive.
Adorable.
I got a crustacean.
Mm-hmm.
Custard. It's a crab.
Yeah.
It's the cutest fucking thing. And usually the pinatas are like just one color usually.
Yeah.
The crustacean is like four. It's got very tropical pinata vibes.
I love that.
Yeah. And as you saw, the horstachio is also vibrant.
So is the fudge hog.
So is the fudge hog. So,
it's a hedgehog, but it's a fudge hog.
Yeah. Giant hump.
Yes.
For no reason.
Nope.
Another thing I like is this game holds up. For a game that came out in 2008, I played it this morning, and it still looks good.
Oh.
Obviously, it looks slightly dated, but not in a bad way. It's not where you're looking at it and it's like, what the hell is that thing? No, everything is made well.
It's not a Dr. Muto situation.
Yeah, or Greg Hastings paintball.
It's like, the fuck is that?
Am I shooting at the wall or a guy? But this one, you're just like, oh, there's one of the Lickitoads. That's what the frog are called.
Yeah.
There's a Lickitoad over there. I can see him bouncing. And then you fly over to him and you're like, oh, he needs water. Cool.
Cute.
Yeah. And finally, I love how goofy the game is. The names, the art style, the character interactions, and even how the piñatas interact with the world and each other. It's just goofy and lighthearted.
Makes me very happy.
Some of them will just run up to the other ones and just look at them. Like, what is this thing? And then they'll go away. Like, it's just friendly.
And of course others will eat each other.
There's some that will actually defend specific, yeah.
Gosh, they made it just too cute.
Yeah, I think the foxes, they need to usually eat the bunny combs. There's Pret's tails.
Yes.
Which are the foxes.
Yep.
They have to eat the bunnies,
mm-hmm.
or one of the bunnies to become your, into your, what's it called? Garden.
Yeah.
But then, they scare away the snakes that come for the mouse mellows.
Oh.
So it's kind of a certain thing. It's like, oh, do you want to protect your little mousy boys? Get a fox.
Oh.
Boom.
But he has to eat one of your bunnies to let that happen.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's fine.
But in sandbox mode, you don't got to worry about any of that.
Yeah, of course.
Just have the type that it would normally eat, and they'll just arrive, and they'll be like, hey, what's up? And now I'm a resident. Like... So, of course, talking about my likes, I gotta talk about my dislikes. There's not many. There's two.
Oh.
The camera controls are weird. You don't control... You know how on an Xbox controller you got the left stick usually moves around, right?
Yeah.
Not so in this game. You move it forward, you're moving forward. You turn left, instead of actually turning left, your camera just turns.
What?
Your right stick doesn't do anything.
What the hell?
So you're just kind of moving, and then you turn when you turn with it.
That weirds me out.
Yeah. So it makes for inconsistent lines when you're planting stuff, but it's a little weird to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you're used to it, you're like, oh, this is just how you do it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and then you'll become a master gardener in no time. And, oh God, second thing, it's the only piñata I don't like. It's called the Galagugu.
What?
It's a bush baby.
Oh.
And this is the only piñata I don't like because it's fucking weird. It's got big ass eyes and it just kind of sits there. And it's the only one that as you're like floating around, it just turns its head and looks at you.
Nope.
And it's like, God, what the fuck?
I love how your second dislike is just one piñata.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck that thing.
It makes a noise that attracts our dog to look up from chewing a toy going, what the fuck is that? Like, it was making a weird-ass squeaking noise, and Hades stopped chewing on a bone just to look at the screen.
To make it stop.
Yeah. And I was like, that's pretty weird, huh? And he just looked at me and looked back at the screen like, what the hell is that thing?
I feel like Hades has done that before with the screen where he's just like, we both see this, right?
Yep. It's the only piñata that, as soon as it popped up around the corner, I was like, what the fuck is that?
No.
I will say each of the piñatas does have a little intro animation, like video thing for when you first attract them.
Oh.
Yeah. Although for some reason the crow didn't have one. It just had it where the camera just was very far away and watching it come down the mountain to the spot where it was just like, I'm here.
Okay.
I was like, what the fuck?
It's like, okie dokie then.
Yeah. I think the frogs for the crows. It didn't make sense to me, but...
That doesn't make sense to me either.
Yeah. So, overall, this game is super simple to get into, but it takes... but it does take space and financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's very forgiving. Especially with the sandbox mode.
Yeah.
It's one of those where it's like, if you're playing the story, you actually have to, like, be conscious.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I need to sell things in order to buy more things.
As any other thing would be.
But yeah. If you're in sandbox mode, you're just like, oh, I need a house. There you go. You do have to wait for the builder, who is another one of the weird human guys, but he's got a giant hammer on his head.
Okay.
To build the house. He goes into the thing, and then it's like, dunk, 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 yeah, like construction noises.
Yeah.
And then it has a timer on the door. And once it's done, you smash open the scaffolding, and there's the house.
I appreciate that.
So, if you are looking for a cutesy game to either just distress your day or get a younger family member into, this is a solid choice.
Mm-hmm.
I played, as I mentioned, the first Viva Pinata as my first ever Xbox 360 game.
Yep.
And I just reinstalled and started playing this one again.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a save data from a previous, from like a long time ago.
Gotta love that.
I had my old story mode one, which, not that successful. But then I was just like, let's do the sandbox mode. And I was just like, fucking, let's go. Let's see. With it being backwards compatible, you can play it on the newer systems, as I mentioned. So now is a great time to get into it.
Yeah.
And if you, I think I got a bunch of the, like, rare games for free a while back. So if anything, it's a fairly cheap game and...
Yeah,
it's not for bad. Hours of entertainment, it's pretty good. Plus, you will sit there and go like, "Ee!" constantly. So
I love that.
I was so happy that I got a Bazeagle.
A Bazeagle?
It's an eagle.
Oh my god.
It finally became a resident. I was like, "Let's go!" And Hades was like, "What? Why?" But,
same reason we're happy with you, dog.
Yes. So, while it's not a perfect game, it's a great one. I'm going to give this a solid 8 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
It's very cute. At least try it out if you're into these types of games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Would you like to know officially the synopsis?
Yes.
Of Viva Pinata the Show?
Yes.
Hudson Horstachio, Fergie Fudge Hog, Polly Prestail, and Franklin Fizzly Bear.
Fizzly Bear.
Are all pinata animals living on beautiful Pinata Island. These colorful friends travel the world, pleasing kids at parties.
Mm.
The animated series is based on a video game of the same name.
Yep.
That's it. That is it.
Yep.
And it says, in a nutshell, fun, imaginative, and bright. And yes, you can still watch it on Prime Video.
Hell yeah.
So we're probably going to watch Viva Pinata.
Would you like to see a badge sickle?
Yes, please. That's fucking cute. It's the cutest fucking thing ever. Yeah. Guys, Google a badgesicle. It is, oh my god.
Just Google.
It's a badger.
Google Viva Pinata Trouble in Paradise Pinata List. And the first thing to pop up should be correct. Oh, here's the Galagoogoo.
Nope.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
Yep.
I immediately was like, no, don't look at me.
Yep.
All right, so... We are on our last little bit here, so let's hear some nonsense that you have spewed while playing COD.
Let's go.
And I'm going to roll a die for this one.
Okay.
Oh god, you get 6.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah. So the first one was, get your laser pointer out of here, you fuck.
He had a one of those red dot lasers, yep. Red dot lasers.
You're really mad.
I was pissed because I just... Oh, no, it was a teammate because he just kept fucking pointing it through the door that I was looking through.
You were so mad.
I was like, get the fuck out of here. Yep, I remember that.
Stop spawning me here. I hate it.
That's because the spawns in MW3 are god-awful.
We get it. You vape.
A lot of people were throwing smoke grenades.
You went, I'm going to shove something where it doesn't belong.
There's no reason for that one.
Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg.
They're all here, Snoop Doggy Dog! I said that so white.
I did.
Let's get a bonus one. 12 and 10, let's fucking go, y'all suck!
That is not a good score either. No. That was just the first time of that night that I went positive.
I know. All right. So that does it.
Yep.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the episode, guys.
Yeah. Go play Viva Pinata. Trust me, you will enjoy it.
Go read a book. You'll enjoy it, too. Okay, probably not as much. That's probably why you're here.
That's fair.
All right, guys. Well, keep on turning those pages.
And mashing those buttons.
And you'll get part 2 of mine next time.
Woo!
Bye!
Bye!